The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one neighbors as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. The beginning of November ushers in, hopefully, as we've seen, cooler temperatures, but also some major events, not only in our church, but also in our nation. Friday this past week, November 1st, was the Feast of All Saints, where we remember those who have gone before us, those who have died. November 1st also is the first day of American Indian Heritage Month, which is designated as a month to celebrate and recognize the cultures, traditions, and achievements of Native American people in the United States. Yesterday, Saturday, November 2nd, our newly elected presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church here in the U.S., Sean Rowe, had his service where he was instituted as our new presiding bishop at the Chapel of Christ the Lord in the Episcopal Church Center in New York City. Now, unfortunately, I was not invited to that service, and I wasn't. It was a very small chapel. But they did live stream it for the whole church, and I was actually busy doing a kolache baking class yesterday, so I really couldn't do it. But if you missed it like I did, you can check out this historic event on the National Episcopal Service, and it's a major event. We will have Sean Rowe as our presiding bishop for the next 9 years. And last but not least, or maybe least but not last, Tuesday. You all know what's happening Tuesday, November 5th, our election day, and a day that brings a lot of stress for a lot of people, and we are all concerned about the conflicts that may result after this election. When changes happen in leadership, both in our church and in our nation, it's imperative that we remember what is most important in our lives. As God's children, in times of great conflict, our hope is not on leaders or rulers. A couple of weeks ago, in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 10, we heard Jesus say this, "You know that among the Gentiles there are those whom recognize as their rulers lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be the servant, and whoever wishes to be the first among you must be slave to all." God warned the nation of Israel in the Hebrew scriptures is when he is careful, when they asked, when they wanted a human leader, a king, to be a ruler over them rather than God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, this is what it says. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But that thing displeased Samuel. But when they said, "Give us a king to govern us," Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they are not rejecting you, but they have rejected me being king over them." We hear it in the New Testament. We hear it in our Old Testament. A signs that warnings of what might happen with rulers. In our reading today from Mark's Gospel, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem in his final days. He is facing all kinds of opposition to his ministry. And so when asked which commandment is first of all, well, Jesus didn't hesitate to answer their question. But the question itself was a trick, because rabbis weren't supposed to rank the commandments of God. But it didn't faze Jesus. He went right ahead and said this: "The first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And then Jesus immediately followed that with the second greatest commandment. And he said, "The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The first commandment from Jesus should sound very familiar to us, because we heard it read earlier in our Deuteronomy, our Old Testament reading. Deuteronomy is one of the five books of the Jewish Torah, the Pentateuch that we call it, the first five books of our Old Testament. The first commandment of God, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, is the Shema of the Jewish people. They would repeat the words in the morning when they got up and right before they went to sleep. The Shema was taught to their children. By living into these two great commandments that Jesus gives us, the conflict that we face in our world with rulers and others, that stress can greatly be decreased. God is in charge, something we need to remind ourselves probably every single day. And because of this, as children of God, there are expectations of how we are to treat others, our neighbors. When someone irritates you, anybody been irritated lately? Am I the only one? Okay. When someone irritates you with their actions or their words, repeat the two greatest commandments of Jesus. When you see unrest or conflict and war, things that give you a sense of feeling hopeless, repeat the two commandments from Jesus. Teach these two commandments to your children and to your grandchildren. The only way forward as a nation or a world is to remember what is most important: God first, and other people in our lives, our neighbors, second. Well-meaning people will disagree with you. Have you recognized that? Everybody disagree with everybody? I bet I could ask two people in here and we'll find disagreement. Just saying, I'm thinking that might happen. People with great passion will believe that they are right and speak from God, and still others with equally great passion and well-meaning, will speak their truths of God, sometimes falling at opposite of each other. Maybe, just maybe, the real truth of God lies between both extremes, or maybe both views are wrong. We as human beings, we do not have the exclusive mind of God. The prophet Isaiah warns us in chapter 55, as it says of God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I hate to burst all of our bubbles, mine included, but we are not God. Did you know that? We don't have all the answers. Maybe the solution to the conflict we see in our world is to leave room for our opinions and convictions, but to leave the room for God's grace in that. Let us focus on God first and our neighbor second with an unselfish love, an agape kind of love. Now, agape love is the most often crowned as the highest kind of love that we can have. It is the kind of love and action that shows empathy, extends the desire for good of the beloved, wants the best, extends help or diminishes good intentions, demonstrates good intentions, and is intended for everyone. We need to stop name-calling and blaming and all the actions and words that divide us. Remember, what is most important in life is first loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and secondly, loving our neighbors as ourselves. With God as our focus instead of the things of this world that we sometimes have no power over, our lives will be much less stressful. And in the coming week and beyond, remind yourself daily of what is most important. A former deacon of our church here at Christ the King, Rick Devenport, posted a prayer out on his Facebook page this week. And it was a prayer for the times of conflict. And I want to share this prayer with you as I end my sermon. Oh God, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us in the midst of our struggles for justice and truth to confront one another without hatred or bitterness and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.